On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Of course, coming up in an hour's time, we'll get to Get a Grip as we always do. But let's waste no time. Let's go out to the fan hotline. Welcome in our good friend of Cleveland.com. Joins us every single Friday. It's none other than Coach Riz, Lance Risland. He joins us now. Coach, what's going on?
Jake, how are you tonight, buddy?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. I'm excited. We're coming off of a win that was projected. But hey, Browns were actually, dare I say, dominant last Sunday.
Yeah, they played very well on defense. And I'll tell you what, the more you break down, you know, obviously you're coming off momentum. That's going to help that. I'm sure that helped the week of practice. You know, and the more and more I watch these Patriots, obviously Vrabel's done a great job. But this is a very beatable team. They're very well coached and they play very well. But I'm a big believer, you know, of winning with players. And they're okay talent-wise. They're not great.
Yeah, Lance, would we be too far going in saying into this game that the Patriots are probably overrated from where people are putting them right now?
Well, you know what it is? I do agree with that. First of all, it tells you the influence of a really good football coach. And, you know, especially that honeymoon period, I like to call it, where you go in and you kind of establish your own culture and what you do. And we all know Vrabel is a tough guy and does really good things when in terms of leadership. But, yeah, when in terms of skill and players, they're okay. I think Drake May is on that borderline and becoming, one of those top 10 guys at some point in the next year or two, possibly. But besides that, you know, Diggs, I think, is a step slower. Defensively, they're really well, they're really sound. They do really good things, but they're not, once again, there's not an overabundance of talent. And I think the Browns can attack these guys, especially on the edges with their smaller outside linebackers. So I do. I think the Browns match up well, and I don't want to say they're overrated because in football, you are who you are. But the talent is not what their record is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about a little bit where the Browns can attack them. Lance, what is it that makes this Patriots defense vulnerable where the Browns can try to find, you know, back-to-back weeks now where they have offensive success?
Well, this is a typical Vrabel defense. They're massive inside, to go back to Belichick. So they got Tonga, Milton Williams, Barmore. These guys are all 3-23, you know, just big humans inside in that out front. So it's really hard to run, you know, A or B gap. But they're Chaisson and Landry, they're outside linebackers who have a lot of sacks, are only about 250. So you can attack on that edge very well. Then in the secondary, you know, Christian Gonzalez is a very good player, but their safeties, Hawkins, Woodson, Duggar, and even their nickelback, Marcus Jones, those guys can all be had in the pass game. Now, they're very aggressive. They're very good tacklers. But I think this is going to be a week where Judy can get in the slot and get behind these guys because, once again, what Judkins does is he gives the Browns an identity. So they're going to do everything they can to stop Judkins. Now you can start taking these shots deep as those safeties come up. But once again, I think this, you know, obviously, I think the guy they got to block is Spillane. He's a guy I love with Pittsburgh. He flies around. But once again, just a very average defense that plays very hard and is very well coached.
Okay, so let's throw it in here. Like, I don't have to explain to you, obviously, that the Browns have struggled offensively through the beginning of the season. But if they're able to string back-to-back weeks together where it looks like the offense, you know, has a pulse and is playing pretty well, what does that tell you about this team?
Well, I think that what I really like is that what an identity does for you, whether Judkins runs for 200 yards or 50 yards, right now that's what the Patriots have been working on all week. And when you have an identity, then you can build off that. So now you're able to throw those play-action shots, especially on early downs, which I think they really need to take a couple shots. That'll be the best for Dylan to stretch the ball deep, and it'll probably give him the best numbers game in terms of safeties being down in the box. But that's what they're working on. That's why it's so important to have an identity, because now you know what what the other team is trying to stop. And then you can build your shot plays. You can build your stuff off of that, you know, your counters and the things you're going to do to the defense, knowing that they're going to have eight in the box, you know, stopping Quinshon. So I think the building this identity with Quinshon is going to help them with their passing game. And it's obviously, I think, the most crucial thing to help their passing game. And get Dylan to stretch this ball a little bit downfield.
All right, so, Lance, let's talk a little bit about Dylan. Obviously, he had what I think we all pretty much described as like a fine week one. It was a down week in week two against Pittsburgh in terms of his starts. After watching him play against Miami, how has your assessment of him changed, if at all?
It hasn't, and it hasn't changed on either of these guys. You know, for me, it's hard to – you know, quarterback position is so tough. A lot of us who watch a lot of film, we get him wrong too. So for me, he's a guy that, you know, after 12 quarters, I can't say is or is not going to be the answer. I really like Dylan Gabriel. I also really like Shedeur Sanders. I haven't seen him at all. So I don't know. Obviously, if Dylan gets hot, they're going to keep him in. Shedeur plays a little bit. For me, no, it hasn't changed, because to evaluate a young kid after just 12 quarters, I'm not good enough to do that, right? So I need some more time to kind of see how he evolves and can he stretch the ball downfield. But in terms of like a rookie quarterback, I think he's been okay. He's played with poise. He's played with some accuracy, and then he's had some accuracy issues. His big thing is inability to stretch the ball downfield. And you want to know if that's him or kind of the coaching. That's something that's going to have to change if they want to continue to win games, because people will take that away. Vrabel's going to take away the short passing game this week, so he's going to have to stretch the field.
Again, Coach Ray's Lance Reisen here with us on the Fan Hotline. So if the assessment of Dylan can't be done after three games, what is sort of the magic number or magic range where you're going to have a big enough sample size to say either Dylan Gabriel, you know, is good enough to stay in this point, or it's probably time to, we know what Dylan is, let's move on and see what you have in the other rookie?
Well, I don't think you really know what he's going to be. I think you can take, you know, obviously you have to start. There has to be progression. There has to be progression down the field. There has to be. Now, the thing I've told everybody this week is that they don't have to do anything new to stretch the ball downfield. He's missed a number of those. Now, a number of them he's missed because of pressure. A number of them he's missed because he takes the underneath route instead of stretching it deep. So there's a bunch of things that are kind of within his control and not in his control. But I don't think you can get an evaluation on either of these guys, to be honest with you, this year. I mean, I think you'll get a pretty good taste of what they can do. But, you know, we're not in the meetings. We're not at practice anymore, things like that. So I think you got to go with what your thought is, what your plan was. And, you know, one of the things people said this week is, everybody's upset that Shedeur is not getting any reps. Two things got me excited about that. One is that if Shedeur gets in and he has trouble, they won't pull the rug from him either. They're giving these guys kind of a fair shot to see if they can go through the ups and downs. It also tells you that the Browns are still concerned about winning, because they're giving their starting quarterback all those reps, which I think is important, which is something Shedeur will want if he becomes a starter. So there's some positives coming out of this. I don't think they're holding him back. I think when he plays, and I think he will play, he'll be successful because they've built him towards that. Right now you have to, everybody's putting a ton of pressure on Dylan. The big thing is winning. And if you can continue to get wins, everything else will take care of itself. Obviously to win, I think he's going to have to create 6 to 10 chunk plays on Sunday against this pretty solid Patriots team. And then you can start to evaluate, yeah, he's taking the next step, or, you know, we got to go with the next guy because he's just not giving us enough.
Lance, we've talked so much about this offense and really just the lack of playmakers that it feels like are here. Garrett Wilson's name has come up a ton with the Jets struggling and potentially him being available, obviously just floating around the rumor mill, no official reports on it. But is the wide receiver something this team should be looking to add and should be active in looking to add at the deadline?
Well, yeah, I think they're going to need a number one. I think Judy is a really, really good receiver, and it's just like kind of the running back. That number two receiver becomes a kind of number one, especially Judy, because he can work in the slot. He can work a bunch of different spots. He's just not a guy who's a slot or an outside guy. So if you can get an alpha guy outside, DK Metcalf, Garrett Wilson, guys who can who are the outside guy who are your deep threats, then a guy like Judy even gets better. Then it makes the tight ends better, and then it makes the run game better. I don't know if Judy's a legit number one or he could be a number one, but you have to there's a big drop off right now between him and the rest of the receivers. And even though he's dropping the ball, he's still a really dynamic receiver, and I think he will get it. They need another dynamic playmaker, whether it's a receiver, tight end, a touch guy, whatever that, when I look at A-Chain from the Dolphins, just a guy you can do different stuff with. That's what they don't have. They need a playmaker. And once again, it's like what people saying the offense is conservative and predictable. For me, that's not really the case. It's the lack of talent and lack of execution. And then once you get better talent, you execute better, the offense becomes better. So they definitely need a guy like Wilson would be just a great fit because he's an outside guy and he can really go get the football. And then that allows Judy to do more as well.
Again, Lance Reisland here with us. Let's go back to the coaching matchup. Lance, take it through me from a coach's perspective. Obviously, Vrabel in the building, going back to last year with the offensive line as a senior consultant slash felt like he really took over the offensive line as the coach there at the end of last year. How much of an advantage does that truly give him already being in the building, knowing what Stefanski wants to do, and how much of that is just outside media and fan base noise trying to pump into this matchup?
I think it's a lot of, there's a lot of copycat in this league. I think it's a lot more noise. Now, there will be some things that during the week they will, things they like to do, what are their go-tos? And, he can say Stefanski likes to do this on first down. But what it really comes down to is the 11 guys on the field or on your side. So 22 guys on the field executing at a high level. Now, there's some extra incentive there, but I really don't think it really matters to the players. It's just like the history of you haven't won away from home or none of those things matter once the whistle starts. It's between the lines and can you execute on that day? And it's just like, what do you expect out of this offense? I don't know. Can they do enough to get enough points to win? That's all that matters. And then you move forward. So yeah, when it comes down to the coaches, I think they're both very good coaches. They do it differently. It's an example of two guys who do it. One is a more cerebral guy. One's more of a rah-rah, in-your-face kind of guy. They both work, and they both had success. And the better players you have, the more your culture and your schemes are successful.
So if you're in Kevin Stefanski's position as a head coach, a guy that obviously, Vrabel's had a ton of success in this league and has a ton of respect throughout the league circles, but a guy that was under you last year essentially going somewhere else, does that put more pressure on you as a head coach in this game?
I don't think so, because I think it shows a lot of, people have said about, certain players and things happening. The thing that I've been impressed with Kevin Stefanski is through this all is that, first of all, he's never lost who he is, whether we like it or not. Sometimes I want him to be emotional and things like that, but he is who he is. And I think that's important. And I think it tells you, bringing a guy like Schwartz, bringing a guy like Vrabel tells you how much winning means to Kevin Stefanski, because he's willing to bring in those guys. And when things go bad, people are going to say, we want Schwartz, we want Vrabel, we should never let Vrabel go. Those are things Kevin Stefanski knew when he brought those guys in, but he doesn't care. He's trying to I've always felt this, and I truly believe this. Kevin will do anything he can to learn more about the game, but also to win. And sometimes that doesn't, sometimes because he's not emotional, it doesn't come off as that. But no, I don't think there's any pressure at all on either of these guys when it comes to trying to outdo the other guy. I think they both have a ton of respect for each other. And Kevin's a guy who's going to figure out a way to win and will do anything to try it. And I saw last week the run game and what they did defensively. These guys are trying to win, and it shows on film.
All right, Lance, let's go back to the Patriots for a second and look at the offensive side of the ball. You said Drake May feels like a guy who's kind of knocking at the top 10 quarterback in the NFL range. What is it that makes him the real deal?
Well, he can make every throw. He's a guy who's completing 75% of his passes. So he's got really good feet. He's really good at anticipation and really good at accuracy. Those are two things that I take very high on my list of when I'm grading a quarterback, especially coming out of college. He's extremely accurate. He protects the ball. He's got 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So when you have those things, they have a pretty good run game that helps him as well. He's got almost a number one. I don't think Diggs is quite a number one anymore, but Boutte is really good, and Hunter Henry is a really good veteran tight end that gives him easy kind of that security blanket underneath, which is really good. I think the thing that separates him is, though, even though he's not a runner, he has great feet. And those feet in the NFL, especially on those third and mediums, you know, Jake, those third and four to eights, he can not only pick those up with his arm, but he can also pick those up with his feet, which means you have to have a game plan with a spy and all that kind of stuff, because his feet can get first downs. And then obviously, you know, he can make all the throws. He's big, he's strong, all that kind of stuff we talk about all the time. But for me, what's really kind of separating him is his feet and his ability to move in the pocket and then get those first downs on those third and mediums.
All right. So if you're the Browns defense, what is it? What is the key to actually holding this Patriots offense in check?
Well, you got to match their physicality. They're going to come out. You watch the number of games. I think I broke down five games on the Patriots. They're going to come out and they're physically going to get after you. They're massive inside with their tackles. So you got to really say to yourself, we're going to buckle up. We're going to put eight in the box and we're going to match their physicality, which I think the Browns will. Then you have to attack their guards and center. You know, their Wilson, Bradbury, and especially Onwenu, the big right tackle, he's 360. They're not great in pass protection. So they got to really do a good job of physically hanging in there on first down. And then they have the advantage in passing situations, especially inside. And with the Browns, the nice thing is that they really don't have to move miles down like they've had to do in the past. They can leave him out on the edge. They can do some different things with him, but now they got four or five guys that can really get after the quarterback. So they got to get him off his spot. They got to have good interior pressure. And once again, Ward has got to continue to play well, and Campbell's got to continue to play well. But if they can win on first down, they have a good chance to win this football game because they have a decided advantage in pass rush.
Lance, would you say the lines bounce around between 6.5 points and 7.5 points in favor of the Patriots? Is that too big of a margin for you?
It is too big of a margin, but I will say this, you know, the more and more film you watch, boy, teams just play differently at home than they do on away. It's, you know, at all levels of football, it's always difficult to play away for whatever it is, travel, food, sleep, whatever it is. But, you know, teams seem to be so much more composed and under control at home. So I do think it's a bit big of a margin. Especially, once again, I'll say this all the time, but the Browns stopped the run on first down this week. They got a real chance because it's kind of one of those things. I think the Patriots they have an advantage in the run game, especially early on, because our guys are more penetrators. But if they can win on first down and kind of fight him through the game and get the second long, they have a real chance to win this game, not just cover, but actually win this game because of the advantage they have in the pass rush.
All right, Lance, real quick before we get you out of here, just take me into the mindset of the locker room. The difference between if the Browns go out and they lose this game in any margin, or if you're able just to get the win on the board, back-to-back wins heading into the bye, with the back half of the schedule on to you, what is the difference in mindset of the players, the coaching staff, and everybody else between the two results?
Well, I think if you win it, it's just both things can happen. But if you say they win right now, you feel like you're in it. You're in it because the AFC North is so beat up and you don't know what's going on with the Ravens and the Bengals and Pittsburgh. You know, even though they're playing well, they have an older quarterback who, you know, you still feel like you're in it, even if you might not necessarily be in it, but you feel that way. It's also going to make practice a little bit better, right? I always tell people, I don't think in the NFL Sunday to Sunday carries over, but what it does Sunday to Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday definitely carries over, and your attention to detail and how you watch film and how attentive you are in meetings and you're lifting weights and how you eat. Everything's just a little bit easier when you win. So now they win two in a row. They got to feel like now they have a lot of winnable games coming up. They got through this really, really tough stretch, beat a good Patriots team, and now they can roll a little bit. And, you know, that's kind of the thing you say week to week. You don't know what you got because you had some losses early, but all you can do is control yourself, and you got a bunch of games you can win. So just the mindset, Jake, going into practice and going into meetings, it's just so different knowing that you're still in it. At least you feel like you're still in it as you get into in those work weeks.
No doubt. Lance, we're looking forward to it. I'll be excited to talk to you and hear from you on Sunday alongside JP on the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show. We're excited for it all, and hopefully we can be excited for a Browns game on Sunday.
Absolutely, my friend. We'll see you on Sunday.
No doubt about it. Lance, we appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lance Reisen, Cleveland.com, with us there on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what Lance had to say as well. Is it too early to make up your mind on Dylan Gabriel? 216-474-0092. We'll get into it all in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys right here on the Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. Just got done talking to Lance Reisland over at Cleveland.com. Obviously, really good stuff out of Lance if you missed it. Odyssey Rewind feature, it'll be up over at 92.3thefan.com. You guys can go back, listen. Lance had some really good stuff, and really, part of what resonated with me for Lance, right, is based off what he was saying. Like, there's a lot of good stuff there, the breakdown of the Patriots stuff. But it's more so the evaluation of Dylan Gabriel for me. Right, there's a lot of different ways that you can go and you can break it down. I've heard a lot of people already say, well, you already know exactly what he is. He's a backup quarterback. Now, I'm more inclined to think he's a backup quarterback, right? You'd think out of most of the things he showed us, that the floor there is a backup quarterback. But, like, he's played three games. Yeah, you think that there's a lot of people who right now want to go through and jump to conclusions on, here's what Dylan Gabriel actually is. Right? And this is all we've seen, and it's all we're going to see. Guys, break down what you've seen out of the kid so far. It's game one, is a start in London where he looked okay. Like, I'm not going to say he looked incredible. He looked fine. He did enough for you to win that game. The defense pretty much blew it at the end. Like, went out there, didn't score a ton, but allowed the defense to play through. Obviously did not have a good game against Pittsburgh. Not going to make an argument that he did, but it was a bad game. As you would expect a rookie quarterback to play a bad game or two. Like, that is an expectation that should be there. And then again, on Sunday, you win 31-6, and it feels like Dylan did what was asked of him. Don't turn the ball over. Complete a lot of the short stuff. Sure, you missed a couple of throws. Like you to be more consistent, more accurate. Definitely things to work on, but it wasn't bad. Like, we've seen three games, and by the way, in a rainstorm, but we've seen three games of Dylan Gabriel where he's just looked okay. I think making up your mind three games in on a quarterback is just something you can't do. Like, if you're going to tell me he has no chance to be a franchise quarterback and you're wasting your time experimenting with Dylan Gabriel, tell me that after six games. Like, I'll buy it a little bit more. If he looks like the exact same quarterback in another three, like, we come out after the bye and you get two games in and you go, it looks like the same guy that started against the Vikings. Because in a lot of ways, I think he looked very similar to the guy that started against the Vikings on Sunday. Then it's, okay, well, I don't know that this is his ceiling, but it's clearly not getting better fast. And you need to see the improvements quickly right now. Like, you're in a sped up process. It's like, yeah, sure. After about six games, I might be willing to hear we've seen enough of Dylan Gabriel for this season. again, if it looks the exact same, if he improves, he probably buys himself a little bit more of a runway. But like at that point, I get it. I just don't know an NFL quarterback that people really have properly made up their mind after three games, unless he was just straight bad. Like if he was just a horrible quarterback, sure. There's a lot of ways that you can make up. Like I'm sure a lot of people had watched, really a fair share. You probably watched Josh Rosen. You might have watched Marcus Russell and been like three games and been like, okay, that's enough of that. Clearly not a good quarterback. I watched three games of Johnny Manziel and definitely had my case made up on what Johnny was. Like, I just don't think Dylan's given you enough of the bad to make it feel like it's worth giving up on him at this point. Again, there has to be a little bit of leeway for these guys where you give them an opportunity to actually go out and do something. But Joe Hayden was on the station earlier, and I thought I made a very quick remark on what Dylan Gabriel is.
From what I've seen, no. I mean, I think he can be a guy. I think he's worth being on a roster for sure. There's plenty of good, but I don't think he's not a franchise guy. Like, I don't think he showed me ability to be a franchise quarterback. Not yet. Not to date. I'm still giving him the more opportunity. He's only started three games, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, he hasn't turned the ball over, but he hasn't thrown these really, like, he hasn't done too much either. So I think he can be a starter, but I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. And that's not a shot, because there's not too many guys that are really those dudes that are worth making $60 million a year.
But this is the part that's interesting to me. It's like, and I made this comparison earlier this week when we were talking. It's like Dylan Gabriel gives very similar vibes like Brock Purdy. Now, that's not a guy that I would want to pay the $50, $60 million price tag for that, well, the 49ers did go ahead and pay and probably are kicking themselves a little bit right now watching Mac Jones be successful. But like, it's not a guy I'd want to go out there and pay a ton of money to have. But at the same time, like, he's a guy that's capable of making that money and capable of winning football games in San Fran. But I'll make the exact same point. Look at the guys that are playing around him. Like, yeah, Brock Purdy's successful when you put Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle with him. I don't think Brock Purdy would probably be successful with Jerry Jeudy, Quinshon, even though he's good, and like David Njoku. Like, that's not exactly the same level of talent that we're talking about. You have a lesser offensive line as well. Like, you put a quarterback like that behind, just good pieces that can go and make the plays for him, it can work. I'm not saying he's a franchise quarterback, but he can be a quarterback for you. He can be a guy that can earn a contract. You might not want to pay him $50, $60 million a year, but if you pay him less than that and ink him to a long-term deal, might be something that can be worth it for you. But that comes with having the pieces around you. So, like, again, I think if you sit here and are like, Dylan can't be a starter in this league and can't be a guy that can start every single game, I haven't seen much to tell me that that's not possible. Because he's pretty much sat there and emulated what Brock Purdy has been able to do. Now, Brock has the big playability too, which we've yet to see out of Dylan Gabriel, and we're going to have to see out of the next 3 weeks. If he's capable of doing it, they give me very similar vibes of quarterbacks. I just think making up your mind right now, you're doing Dylan Gabriel disservice, you're doing the Browns a disservice. Like, we're not to the point where it's go see Shedeur Sanders time. We don't know what Dylan Gabriel is. And right now, probably, I mean, based on what we've seen out of Shedeur, probably gives you the best chance to win. He's certainly the safest option. Certainly probably gives you the best opportunity to let the defense go win you games. Again, I need to see improvement out of Dylan. It's not just a bypass. He's doing everything correct. But you just haven't seen enough bad out of him either, I don't think. Yeah, I haven't seen him turn the ball over. As much as that is, you know, kind of indicative of the Browns' offense right now, still a good sign. Like, that's still something, a very big positive for Dylan Gabriel, is that he's not shooting you in the foot. He's allowing the defense to go out there and make plays. It's a big thing right now. Like, the time for Shedeur, I imagine, will come. Again, I don't have a ton of faith in Dylan, but I'm not going to rip that opportunity out from under him. I'm not going to just fully make up my mind and say there's no chance and we're just wasting our time not starting Shedeur. I think you got to give a guy a little bit of rope. You draft him in the third round, he's a rookie. You do that for a reason. Even if it is, at the end of the day, he's going to be a backup quarterback, you got to give him the opportunity to prove that he's not anything more. And I don't think he's had that opportunity through three games. Like, I don't think that is enough of a window based on the three games that you played in the conditions around them to just rule him out and say that's all it is. Again, 216-474-0092. Is your mind already made up on Dylan Gabriel? Let's go out to the phones. Let's talk to Keith is in Olmsted. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. First of all, I appreciate your attitude because there's so many people in the media. I mean, starting with your beat reporter, which he talked to me personally in Brown, Canberra, and he said, I've seen 75 quarterbacks come through here, and he should not even be in this camp. And first, I look at the guy, I go, I don't know what makes you be able to judge a quarterback. You don't look like you ever played the game. Your brother-in-law, I don't know. It's none of my business. But the point is, you got all these people saying he shouldn't even be there. But like Baker, he won everywhere he went. Okay, so instead of judging the guy and saying, why is this guy there? Why don't we take a look? The problem with the Browns is we're not looking enough. They look enough at Baker to say, hey, maybe we just need to give it some time. I'm not saying Dylan's the answer. I'm saying you play quarterback. I'm in the 63-year-old club. I've been here forever, okay? I'll let you play quarterback if you're going to make us a better team. You get what I'm saying?
I got you, Keith.
I appreciate your attitude because a lot of the people that are all working at your station, I like Baskin and Phelps because at least they're saying, hey, let's take a look. But the other groups are saying, no, 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 he shouldn't even be there. And with that attitude, it's not helping anybody. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Keith, I appreciate you making the call. I mean, listen, everyone's entitled.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To their own opinion, I don't think that Dylan looks great. But, like, one, I'm not going to help you at quarterback. Trust me. That is not the way to fix this thing. Me playing quarterback is going to be a very ugly sight. But, like I said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I just think you're making a too rash of decisions right now if you think it's too soon. Like, you really don't need to see Shador get a 10-game runway. Like, chances are you're going to see a lot more bad than good in that time, and I don't know how ready Shador is at this point. I'm not inside the building every day. I can't answer that question for you. Like, if there's nothing out of Dylan right now, okay, that's okay. It's 3 games in. Allow there to be nothing out of Dylan 6 games in, and then I'll be right on board with you. If I get 6 games of it, okay, probably not a fair evaluation of him, but it's the evaluation we have the room to make. Again, 216-474-0092. Is your mind already made up on Dylan Gabriel? Plus, I have a feeling if this wasn't Dylan and was another name, fans would feel a whole lot differently. That in 5 minutes and overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Coming up in about 40 minutes, we're going to talk to Christopher Price of the Boston Globe, get a feel from the Patriot side of things coming up this weekend. Browns, Patriots as well. Coming up here in about 17 minutes, as we always do at 9 o'clock, we're going to get a grip. But I'm asking you guys right now, 216-474-0092, is your mind already made up on Dylan Gabriel? Because, again, it feels early for me, but I threw out there before the break, like, if there's somebody else in this position, and specifically, let's just throw out the idea that this is Shedeur Sanders in through three games. I mean, repeat the product one for one, if that's the way it looked. I guarantee you the fan base would not have their mind made up on Shedeur Sanders. Like, that is 1,000%. And honestly, some people might be delusional to the point where it's made up the other way, and it's like, guys, look at him. He's got no offensive line. He's got no weapons around him. Sure, everything's short, but like, he's making do. He's trying to help you win a football game, and it'd be made up the other way. Now, those people are delusional, but
I think the reason for that, though, is I think people think Shedeur has just a much higher ceiling. Like, I think they don't see any ceiling with Dylan Gabriel. Like, this is what he will be his whole career.
And now here's where somebody inserts the Dylan Gabriel ceiling joke that he, like, can't see it or can't
exactly.
reach it.
He has no room there. For growth.
Something along those lines. Somebody makes the 5'9" joke.
With Shedeur, I feel like people would be able to feel like they could see a better version of Shedeur in the future. Like, he can grow from this.
Yeah, I think that's also part of the problem for me, though, too, is, like, if you're just assuming, and I get it, like, Dylan's, what, 25? 24, like, he's one of the oldest rookies that we've ever actually encountered other than, like, Brandon Whedon. Like, we're talking about an older rookie quarterback that took the traditional route of college straight to the NFL. Like, is there less of a ceiling there? I would think so. Like, that's the evaluation I had pre-draft. But at some point, if you're just allowing your pre-draft idea to dictate here's what the quarterback can be and will be, like, then why are we even playing out the season? Like, if you felt like there was no ceiling there for Dylan Gabriel in the first place, guys, I don't think he'd be playing right now. If the belief in the room was that there's no ceiling for Dylan Gabriel, he probably wouldn't be in the game. There has to be some level of belief that Dylan can turn it around and can look like a franchise quarterback. So, like, again, if you're just using the preconceived notion you have on the two quarterbacks to validate it, it's like, okay, but if you're going to give one rookie enough of a leash that I'm talking six games for Shedeur or six games for Dylan Gabriel, like, that should be an even amount. Like, if you're telling me after you want to see more Shedeur after six games than you would want to see after Dylan after six games, I think you have a better argument. Like, again, you have a sample size. Yeah, if the ceiling doesn't look great and Dylan looks like the same quarterback, again, the ceiling does not feel as high with Dylan Gabriel. I get it. But, like, three games is not enough to project out what a quarterback looks like. You use three games, and I get these are very different circumstances. I'm not making the one-to-one comparison, but just the idea that if you use three games to judge Josh Allen would be sitting on a bench somewhere playing in Canada right now, tearing up the CFL. Like, you just don't, you're not able to make that evaluation after three games, no matter who the quarterback is. You don't watch three games of anybody play any sport and go, I already know fully what this guy can be. Again, you hand him six games, you hand him a third of a season. Okay, right. Could I be wrong on this? Could there be more to get from him? Sure, there can. There could always be more. He could just, you know, need more development. He could need more time to showcase it. He could just need better weapons around him. It could all be true. But again, I'm in a shortened amount of time that I have to evaluate the quarterbacks. I get it. You still have more time. Like, Joe only got the small sample size that they were able to give him of four games before you moved on. Like, pretty much everybody thought Joe was going to get a bigger leash than that. And had Joe actually shown anything on the field, he would have gotten a bigger leash than that. But you're already sped up, and we're talking about, you know, heading into week eight, there's already people that think they know what they have in Dylan Gabriel, and they'd be starting Shedeur after the bye. It's like, okay, that's, now we're talking eight games of football. We're talking a half of a season for Shedeur Sanders. Guys, the bad part of it is if Shador isn't ready and Shador doesn't look good, you're going to have eight miserable games that really aren't going to help anybody. Like, Shador playing might not be the best thing in the world, but it feels like a lot of preconceived ideas for me when we talk about the quarterback, that a lot of people like to use their pre-draft analysis of these two guys to then go out and basically try to make the decisions on the field when they're happening. At the end of the day, the Browns told you they felt like Dylan Gabriel is a better quarterback than Shador. And if we're talking about what I think they thought of the two quarterbacks, I'm assuming they thought that the floor was much higher with Dylan Gabriel and they liked the way that he'd be able to run the offense, and Shador was a lottery ticket. He was in the fifth round, a high ceiling, but had a lot of things to work on. Again, that's not a guy that you probably hand half of a season to in his first year in the NFL. We've gone through those experiments. They never end up going well. So I just don't see the problem, but you can't just make up your mind for one guy and not the other one. They are two rookie quarterbacks coming into the NFL. They are both trying to prove themselves. I think if you want to make the analysis of, hey, I drafted this guy before the other one, or I think he has a higher ceiling, you want to tell me that idea of a pre-draft thought process on a guy? Yeah, of course, it makes sense. You're going to make pre-draft thought process. It's how we go through and we draft players. But once you take those into the season, it's like you kind of let the player go prove himself. Like the pre-draft thought process on Cam Scataboo is that there's a lot better running backs out there than Scataboo was. Looks pretty good in New York right now. There's guys that have looked better than him this year, but not many. Like, I would take Quinshon over Cam, but there's a couple of guys that certainly went higher that I would not have taken. The idea was Caleb Johnson was better. If you would have just used the idea, Caleb Johnson would have a longer rope right now, basically, than Cam Scataboo would, and that doesn't make any sense. And it is weird that is the flipped idea that Dylan was drafted earlier by the team. You would think there's more faith there. But the fan base obviously feels the other way, and I understand that. Like, I also, in some degrees, feel the other way. Like, I would probably rather test things out with Shador than I would test things out with Dylan. Like, and as much as I would love to see more Shador Sanders, like, you think about it from a logical standpoint, and you don't just run this thing based off of pure emotion, but in what you think the team would think, this makes all of the sense in the world. Nobody has a true idea, and the team would obviously not feel like they have a true idea of what Dylan Gabriel is, and we heard Lance say that he really doesn't feel like he has a good gauge on what he is and probably wouldn't, even if he played out the entirety of the year, probably wouldn't feel like he has a true evaluation on Dylan Gabriel. And I think given the circumstances that you have, the team you have built around him, I don't know how you can go through and really feel like you do have an evaluation on him. It's not an argument to give Dylan the whole year. It's not an argument to give Shador the whole year. More so probably a testament to the fact that trying to figure out if you have a franchise quarterback within one season while you're starting a 40-year-old to start the year, probably not a trustworthy process. Like, that's probably not the best way to go about things. But it again rolls back to the idea of you're taking two rookie quarterbacks and going down an unfair treatment route to one because of what you personally think on the quarterback. Again, I'm looking for a quarterback to play his way out of the job. If Dylan had done that through 3 weeks, it would have had to have looked like Joe had played in the first four. Like, that's what playing yourself out of a job very quickly would look like. You just look like you're not prepared at all for it. The offense has looked better under Dylan, certainly, than it has under Joe. And quite frankly, while the offense hasn't looked great, it has had some life, and you can see the pieces around him not doing the work for him. I just think you have to have a bigger window for it. You have to have a little bit more leeway with a guy that you are at least trying to find out. Best case scenario is that Dylan Gabriel is your franchise quarterback and he looks incredible, right? Like, I think everybody can agree on that. Like, if you never have to see Shador for the best reasons, a steal of a pick for the Browns in the draft, we all feel really good about it. Part of it does come, like, yes, we need to expand what we're seeing out of Dylan. You can't continue to just keep throwing the ball short. Like, that's not a franchise quarterback level. If you do that for three more weeks, I don't care if you win the next four games. I've seen enough, right? Like, I don't have anything there. You might be my quarterback for a little bit because I'm winning games and stacking wins on top of each other. But in terms of you getting paid next year, that doesn't really matter to me. Like, I'm still going to draft a quarterback whether you're winning or not because I'm going for high-level talent there. My thought process is that I'm getting a franchise-level talent. So unless you're showing me those things, and unless it's not just the defense carrying me to wins, it's not going to keep you your job. And again, it's where I think, and we talked about this with Michael during Change Your Mind on Wednesday night, it's where I feel like you almost need the mentality of Shador to infect Dylan Gabriel in some ways. Like, the thought process is probably going to be really similar with Shador Sanders, that you're going to try to keep the ball short. You're not going to try to extend it down the field. The messaging from Kevin Stefanski, I will imagine, among the quarterback room is going to be very similar. The difference is, I don't think that Shador is just going to sit there and basically take every order that's given to him and follow it to a T. Shador is going to go out there and be a quarterback that tries to see the field his way and make some throws that probably makes Kevin Stefanski cringe, but there's going to be a level of those that work out. And it was the exact same thing with Baker Mayfield. I don't think that Kevin would agree with every decision Baker made and was still the quarterback that he almost got to an AFC championship with. Like, Baker, for the better in a lot of ways, would go out and extend plays and try to make a play with his arm. I don't know that you still feel that exact same way. I don't know that Dylan has that in him. I don't know that Dylan isn't just going to be, I mean, in a lot of ways, a yes man of, hey, Kevin, you want to keep the ball short? We'll just keep throwing the ball short. I'll execute the game plan in front of me. So a good quality in a quarterback, but I think you also need some of the other, of a little bit of pushback, and I'm going to see the field my own way. If I think I can make a play, I'm going to go out and make it, and not just check the ball down and protect it and try to give my defense a chance to win. Again, if you're just shooting for wins this year, Dylan Gabriel might be your best chance from start to finish. If it is Kevin's game plan has legitimate truth to it, Quinshon looks really good, the defense can keep you in games and win you games, Dylan Gabriel might be the quarterback that gives you the best chance to win every single week. The problem is, even if you have the best chance to win every week, I don't know how many games that you're putting on the board. I don't know how many times you walk away with a win just given your best opportunity. Like, you're going to have to make plays the same way that I need my defense to make plays. There has to be a little give and take there. Like, the offense has to be able to, you know, probably check down some plays, run on some third and longs, allow the defense to keep it in, while also bolstering them with big plays in scoring of their own. The defense won the game on Sunday. The offense didn't look that great. But you're going to have to go through it and see some of that. And that's what Dylan needs to show over the next 3 weeks, whether that's Kevin telling him he needs to do it, whether that's Kevin allowing the playbook to open up and allowing him to try out more things, or Dylan just going out there and flat out doing it. Something has to change. But again, if this was Shador Sanders, I think anybody would be in the same mindset. 216-474-0092. Would your feelings be different if the two quarterbacks were swapped, but the results were the same? I have a feeling the answer to that would be yes. Get a grip, coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.